We're going to read the Word of God this morning. We find it in the book of Matthew's Gospel, the sixth chapter. The sixth chapter of Matthew's Gospel. And we're reading together from verse 24. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. Let us hear God's Word this morning. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gathered into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Amen. Ending our reading there, at the end of the chapter, we know that God will bless the reading of his precious word to all our hearts. Bow together in prayer. Ask the Lord to meet with us as we come to his word this morning. Let us all pray. Our gracious God and loving Father, we come now to the preaching of thy word. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. We ask in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. My subject today is prioritizing our priorities. Quite a mouthful, you may say. Prioritizing our priorities. Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. People speak about things that are on their to-do list. Obviously, they haven't got round to them yet, but they hope at some stage to do them. What are the things that you most need to attend to? Those domestic things you've put off for long enough and you still haven't done. Maybe you're getting that dig in the ribs this morning because, husband, you haven't attended to those things. And the summer, well, maybe not quite, but is almost out. Other matters that you haven't given attention to, even some that are important, but they're still on the list to be done. They haven't been ticked off as being completed. And so there are many things, maybe a multitude of things on your to-do list. It's all about priorities, getting our priorities right. What are priorities to some are not priorities to others. What are your priorities this morning? Jesus, in his great Sermon on the Mount, spoke about having priorities. In the immediate context from which we have read, he's addressing the anxieties that many have in the temporal sphere of life. And maybe you identify with these anxieties this morning. Maybe they're upon your mind even as you've met together here with us in the house of God. But the Lord said, for example, verse 25 of Matthew 6, take no thought or take no anxious thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Again, verse 28, why take ye anxious thought, as the sense is, for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field. They toil not, neither do they spin. Verse 31, therefore, take no anxious thought, again as the sense is, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Being filled with anxiety, overtaken by worry in relation to material things. The truth is, as Jesus says here in verse 32, your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. The Lord knows our needs, and the Lord meets our needs, not our greeds, but our needs. But then we have the but, and how often this but comes up in Scripture. The Lord puts emphasis here upon getting our priorities right. Or as I've said earlier, prioritizing our priorities. And so we come to the words of our text this morning. Verse 33 of Matthew 6. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It's important to have the right things on our to-do list, and to have them in the right order. And the Lord gives us clear direction here. Let there be no confusion. And let all things, as Scripture says, be done decently and in order. And so we come to our subject and to our text this morning, prioritizing our priorities. Three simple things I want to leave with you this morning. First of all, the priority. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. This is something right at the top of the list. Seeking first the kingdom of God. You'll notice the exhortation to do this. And the thought here in the term seek is to set ourselves to seek. Is to seek with all our might. We know how worldly people seek after those things of time and sense. They don't do it reluctantly, but they do it heartily and constantly and diligently. In such a manner and in such a spirit are the things pertaining to our eternal welfare and our spiritual well-being to be sought. God has nowhere promised that those who seek him indolently and indifferently shall find him. But rather he declared in Jeremiah 29 and verse 13, ye shall seek me and find me when ye search for me with all your heart. And so that might be, there might be no misunderstanding. Jesus said here, and underscored it here, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. By which is meant, seek it chiefly, seek it principally, seek it above all the things of this world. Let the things of God have chief place in your thoughts, in your desires. making the glory of God and your own spiritual blessing your paramount concern. It is not that we are to seek them solely and exclusively to the neglect of temporal duties and responsibilities, but we are to put first things first. Not suffer them to be crowded out with things of far less importance. Seek them first in time, remembering the divine promise in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17, those that seek me early shall find me. Let us have a total focus on these things so that we are not distracted away to other things. And how often in our lives there is the temptation to let our focus be on other things. Things that are harmful to our spiritual lives. Things that are detrimental to our spiritual growth and to our spiritual progress. Let not the things of God become an afterthought. Or some things that we consider in times of an emergency, or once a week, or in time of severe trial or crisis. And oftentimes, they don't really come into our thinking at all. Whereas they must be first, as far as the Lord is concerned. They must be top of the list. Is that so with you this morning? The exhortation. But notice also the examples of doing this. Those who with all their hearts sought first the kingdom of God. God was first in their lives. And we have many examples of this. It is expressed by the psalmist on various occasions. For example, Psalm 63, verse 1, he said this, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and a thirsty land where no water is. You see the buildup of intensity here. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. In a dry and thirsty land where no water is. And again the psalmist in the 42nd Psalm, familiar to many. And the first two verses of that psalm, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Thirsting for God, that inward thirst, that longing of soul after God, indicates just how the psalmist was seeking him first. And again, looking at the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 64 in the opening verse, we have the prayer of the prophet here. And again will be familiar words to many. Oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens, that thou wouldst come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. And again we have this sense of seeking God with intensity. With that depth of desire. Is it so with us this morning? You think of Daniel, the prayer life of Daniel. And of course, we have many examples in the book of Daniel of that, chapter 6, verse 10, and then going on to chapter 9 of the book of Daniel. We have the prophet there in those opening verses of that great book, the book of Daniel, chapter 9, and verse 3 and following verses. I set my face, Daniel 9, 3. Unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And again, following verses you can read for yourself and get a sense of how Daniel was seeking God was putting God first. Again, the prophet Habakkuk, in that great prayer in the third chapter of the prophecy in verse 2. O Lord, I've heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. And of course, we have the praying of the Savior himself, the supreme example. It is set before us in the Gospels. His heartfelt communion with the Father. The praying of the apostles and the church. We're especially drawn to the prayers of Paul the Apostle. In all of these and many more through Scripture, we have examples of those who put the Lord first in supplication and prayer. Let me ask you, Christian, this morning, are you putting God first as far as your prayer life is concerned? As far as your communion with your Heavenly Father is concerned? But not only was it a sense of putting God first in supplication, but also in service. They gave themselves first to the service of God. We think of Nehemiah in the Old Testament, how he was prepared to take whatever sacrifices were necessary in order to do the work of God that needed to be done. He faced all of the difficulties and all of the dangers. And in the doing of it all, he put God first. You cannot read the book of Nehemiah without understanding this. And through all the challenges of the apostles, in their many persecutions, in their many perils, they pursued a path that indicated the Lord was first as far as their service was concerned. You think of Hebrews chapter 11, that great list of the heroes of the faith. And what a list it is. And as we look at the servants of God down through the centuries, since Bible times, history records the name of men, the names of men and women who put God first. Whether it was David Livingstone, or Hudson Taylor, or Emma Munn, or Mary Slessor, and many, many others, heroes of the faith. Examples of those who put God first. Who sought first the kingdom of God. Let me ask you today, will you do this? Let me challenge you this morning. Will you seek first His kingdom? The priority. And then I want you to think, secondly, this morning about the purity, because our text says this, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You see, the pathway of holiness is to be pursued by the Christian. The Bible exhorts us in Hebrews 12, 14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Paul sought to counsel the church at Corinth away from their carnality and worldliness and sinful practices to a pathway of holiness which was pleasing to the Lord. It's so easy, dear friends, to be tempted to go astray, to lower our standards. And we have examples of those who did this in the Old and New Testaments. Think of David, how he went astray. Think of Solomon with all his wisdom, and yet he loved many strange women. We think of Samson. He gave away the secret of his strength. He wist not that the Lord had departed from him. We think of Demas. And Paul said of him, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Think of the churches at Ephesus and Laodicea. And Ephesus, the Lord had somewhat against them because they'd left their first love. And Laodicea, they were neither cold nor hot, they were lukewarm, and God spewed them out of His mouth. You see, my friends, today I put it to you that the forsaking of the righteous path brings shame and dishonor upon the Lord's name. And it causes the enemies of Christ to blaspheme. We must ever guard our testimony. in our families and society in general, in business and school and college or university, or wherever we may find ourselves in the course of our lives. The great Puritan Thomas Watson said this: sanctification is progressive. If it does not grow, it is because it does not live. There must be this dying more and more unto sin and living more and more unto righteousness. Our Shorter Catechism, in answer to question 35, what is sanctification? We have that definition. Sanctification is the work of God's free grace, whereby we are renewed in the whole man in the image of God and enabled more and more to die unto sin and to live unto righteousness. Is not this that which Paul was speaking of in Galatians 2:20 when he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And brethren and sisters in Christ this morning, it is Christ living in us. The manifestation of Christ in the life that enables us more and more to live unto Him and to die unto sin and to live the holy life and to shun the wrong and do the right. Ascending into the hill of God. Psalm 24. Who shall ascend into the hill of God? Who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor hath sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is what that young man grasped when he prayed in that barn in Lewis at the time of the revival. He quoted these words from Psalm 24. And he said this: is it not so much humbug us praying here if our hearts are not rightly related to God? Let me repeat that this morning. Is it not so much humbug us praying here if our hearts are not rightly related to God? Are our hearts rightly related to God this morning? Oh, that we might grasp even this today. McShane, the great Scottish preacher, said, I often pray, Lord, make me as holy as a pardoned sinner can be. Lord, make me as holy as a pardoned sinner can be. The great Bible expositor A.W. Pink said, there is no way that we ourselves can generate sanctification. Our sanctification, listen, is Christ. There is no way we can be good. Our goodness is Christ. There is no way we can be holy. Our holiness is Christ. Leonard Ravenhill said, the greatest miracle that God can do today is to take an unholy man out of an unholy world and make that man holy and put him back into that unholy world and keep him holy in it. What a miracle that is. And friend, sanctification is something progressive. It is something that we're led on day by day in our Christian lives to die unto sin and to live unto Christ. Christ living in us. Rogers said, holiness is not the way to Christ. Christ is the way to holiness. And Peter in his epistle, he said this in 1 Peter 1, verses 14 to 15. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation. And that word conversation has to do with our behavior. Not just what we say, but how we live. Blessed are the pure in heart, said Jesus, for they shall see God. And as we walk in fellowship with Christ, there will be this lessening likeness to the world and increasing likeness to Christ. I think of those disciples who walked on the way to Emmaus with the Lord Jesus. Luke 24, what a change there was in them. They said, didn't our hearts burn within us? While he spoke with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures and revealing to us the things concerning himself. And as Christ was revealed to them, they walked that holy path. Again, those who met with the Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration, the Bible says in Matthew 17 and 8, they saw no man but Jesus only. May that be so this morning. Our lives will never be the same again if we see no man but Jesus only. Maybe you've never seen the Lord, friend. Maybe you've never been saved. Maybe you've never trusted in Christ. Oh, that today you may look to Him, be saved. Look away from the preacher. Look away to that cross where Jesus died, where He shed His blood for sinners, such as you and me. Oh, be saved, His grace is free. Oh, be saved, He died for thee. Paul spoke so wonderfully there in 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. He said this, "But we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." May there be such a change in us today. Think of Stephen when they looked upon him. They saw that difference. The beauty of Christ. You think of those disciples, Peter and John, unlearned and ignorant men, but they took knowledge of them that they had been with Christ. May Christ be manifest in our lives today. Not a church. Not an individual. But Christ. Christ in us. May that be so today. The purity. And I want to come quickly this morning to the promise. That's the third thing in our text. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If we prioritize our priorities, then this promise will be realized. And it's a grand and it's a glorious promise this morning. In the previous verses we've read in our Bible reading today, in Matthew 6 in the context, the Lord Jesus Christ used one argument after another to show the needlessness and folly of being filled with anxious care, calling attention to a variety of facts and drawing from them irrefutable conclusions to evidence the sin of distrusting God. And many times we do that. We worry about needless things. We're overtaken with the cares and worries of this life. But here He makes a plain and positive declaration, assuring us that if we are truly concerned about God's interests, He will take care of ours. That if the divine glory be our principal aim, we shall not be the losers temporally. If God be leading us to heaven, He will certainly not deny us such things as bodily sustenance and raiment. Psalm 84 and verse 11 says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory." Listen, no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. And where He gives the grace and glory, He will not withhold from us the good things of this life. Paul, in writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 and 8, he said, "Godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." And he says here in our text, "And all these things shall be added unto you." And the phrase here is very significant in the original. It's taken from the custom which obtained between buyers and sellers when things were sold by measure, the seller adding an extra quantity or overplus as to ensure good weight and please the customer. To those who seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, the Lord gives good measure. He gives good measure. Good measure pressed down and running over. To those who seek first His kingdom, He will give us the needful material supplies to our wants. The Lord is no man's debtor. We read in Scripture in 2 Samuel 6:11 that the ark of God continued in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months, and the Lord, listen, blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. How much more will He bless those who put Him first? You and I, if we put the Lord first. But the promise is only for those who meet the stipulation. Who are you seeking first? The earthly or the heavenly? The things of self or the things of God? Have you got your priorities right? How vital it is that we do so. The world is looking on. You're the only Bible that many people read, many non-Christians read. We are living epistles known and read of all men. Therefore, I put it to you today, make sure your testimony is right. Make sure your priorities are right. Make sure you're prioritizing your priorities. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. May God bless His word to our hearts today.